One of the things that I think is positive, and I'm a little surprised, I don't know if you guys have touched on it, I'm surprised more people haven't brought it up. Charlie Lindgren's really good. The goalie they called up.
I like Charlie Lindgren a lot, but Pierre, he has the second worst save percentage in the American Hockey League this season.
Don't go there. I understand why you would bring it up. And playing goal in the American Hockey League on a marginal team is one of the worst nightmares somebody that plays a position can have.
Off the stick of Ponick, no icing. He'll grab it behind the net. Lindgren cuts across. Shot stopped by Lindgren. What a save as he moves ever so quickly to his left and makes the best save of the period so far.
Absolutely.
Frantzen wrists it through the crowd. Lindgren's down. Puck is loose. Behind the net. Now Saad with his back to the play is Lindgren, and he kept it out. Oh, some of the Hawks fans down there thought it was in. And Lindgren doing everything he can. Kicked up by Morrow just outside the blue line. Here comes DeBrinket. Alex DeBrinket. Jonathan Taves. Glove stop by Lindgren.
Wow, he got over there quick.
A terrific athleticism. That might have gone wide, but that's a fine save no matter which way you look at it. Nisimov, the former Blue Jacket, trying to grab it. He can't. Canadians might have a chance here. Drouin driving toward the net. Drouin right in. Scores! Jonathan Drouin flying up the ice. He roots it over Corey Crawford. Canadian strike first. It's 1-0. Now at the point. Rolling puck. And Morrow shoots and scores. Joe Morrow with his first as a half. Coming into a building where they haven't won since February 27th, 2002. And it looks like they're going to do it. Still a little time left. 19 seconds. Keith Brinkwine. Oh. What a stop. Lindgren robbing Paddock with the save of the year by a Canadian. Kept in, Seabrook, Brinkwine again, a shot, Lindgren kicks it away, and in his fourth game, he gets his first career shutout. The Canadians beat the Hawks 2-0 here at the United Center. What a game.
What a game, what a save.
What a weekend, 4 points. Welcome back, Melnick in the afternoon. Yes, it's pitch black. This is the first, so got a little confused. Almost said Melnick in the evening. Along with Rod Francis and Mitch Gallo, until 7 o'clock, we have the NFL Monday Nighter. Packers at home to the Lions at 8. Right now, it's time for Pierre.
Hockey insider Pierre McGuire, brought to you by Ye Olde Orchard Pub, with 6 locations in and around Montreal. YeOldOrchard.com.
And a three-way trade to discuss shortly. How are you, Pierre?
I'm good, Mitch. Good evening to you.
Yes, sir, unfortunately.
By the way, last night as I'm watching that game, I'm saying to myself, well, I know two hockey communities outside of Montreal that actually know how important this is. One would be Lakeville, Minnesota, where Charlie played high school hockey with one guy by the name of Brady Shea. Oh. And the other one would be Bob Motzko and the people at St. Cloud State, that today in the NCAA poll was rated number one in the country. So you don't think both those hockey communities where Charlie played high school and then college weren't excited?
What a night. What a situation.
Awesome.
Talk about rising to the moment specifically for Charlie Lindgren, huh?
Yeah, that was inspiring. I was so happy for the players. I was really happy for Jonathan Drouin last night. That was an important moment for him to really show that he's going to be capable of doing some good things. It was a tremendous weekend. I was talking to Rod before. You take the win in Winnipeg and you say, thank you, we had some hockey luck. We had some puck luck. We take the win and we move on. Last night, they earned that. They earned that. We talked about it on Friday. Not enough people talk about the emotion of the Minnesota-Chicago game and the rivalry that it is. I've done a ton of those games. It's a whole lot of nasty. It's the Hatfield and McCoys. And, you know, Chicago did not play as well on last night than they did on Saturday night. And I give Montreal full credit. They were ready to play in a tough building, and they got some really timely goaltending.
You know, it's interesting you say that because with Lindgren from Minnesota, he's well aware as a fan watching through the years of what a Minnesota-Chicago matchup meant, specifically on a Sunday night in Chicago.
Yep. That's the mark. You know, Saturday night, just for Montreal fans to understand, and I'm sure they do, but Saturday night is hockey night in Montreal. I mean, it is. Saturday night is the big night. We all grew up with it. It's a gigantic night. You play on a Saturday night in Montreal, you're the show. That's the big deal. Well, the same thing can be said on a Sunday night. If you're playing in Chicago on a Sunday night, that's a big deal. It's a huge deal. I've coached in a bunch of those games. I've, you know, broadcast a bunch of them, and Sunday night in Chicago is pretty special.
No, it's incredible. I mean, obviously you hear about United Center and the crowd and the atmosphere, and definitely didn't disappoint from the, you know, from the anthem to the whole game. It was really incredible. So obviously a very fun spot to get my first shutout.
All right, so now I don't want to look too far ahead, but he's a legitimate top prospect. I think.
He's good. If you go back to the beginning of the year, Rod asked me the question: what are the two? Is there a couple players you're looking? I said one is Charles Houdon to see if he can transition to be an NHL player and a point producer, and the other one is Charlie Lindgren.
Yeah, you have a bad memory. You usually have a great memory, but I asked you about that.
Oh, was it you, sir?
Yeah, it's okay. It's all right.
Okay.
I just want to set the record straight.
You see how important those players, that's why it's so critical, that prospect. And you talked about the three-way deal. See, I still remembered you asked me that.
Yeah, we'll get to it. I don't want to go there yet.
You've got to have prospects to be able to make those deals.
But back to, we don't know, you know, if Carey Price is injured, so that means presumably he's not on the ice. But on Thursday, the Vegas Golden Knights are here tomorrow. Thursday, it's Minnesota.
Right.
One would assume that he'll have an opportunity to start against his home state team.
I would probably go down that road, but I don't know. Again, they'll have to just play that one out. I think a lot of it depends on what happens with Vegas tomorrow. Now, obviously, Vegas is playing in Toronto tonight. They got their first ever win on Canadian soil against Ottawa, who just laid a stink bomb out there on Saturday afternoon. But, you know, they still won. That was really good. That was really good for Vegas.
After the game.
When I came in last year, I should say, he was coming off an injury. And so he hadn't really found his groove yet. But, I think he's playing his best hockey since I've been here. And he's always been a hard worker. What he's doing now, I've seen, but on the other side. And so it's nice to see him playing with that confidence and that determination that makes him that kind of player.
Pierre, a lot of guys have picked it up. They had to lately, but it seemed to start such two similar players with Andrew Shaw and Brendan Gallagher, and that's who Claude Julien was talking about there, Gallagher.
Gallagher for the last four or five games has been more like Brendan, and I think that's been really important, even though, you know, I was wondering about where he was. I thought he was getting a free pass at the beginning of the year. Everybody was picking on all the other guys, and Brendan was kind of under the radar. And he's just an important player for them. And Andrew hadn't been doing anything. But you could see both of them, they bring energy. And they bring energy and skill. So those two things matter, especially if you're going to be offensively challenged. So they're not blowing teams away, but those two guys make a difference in terms of them being able to survive in tight games.
So the win in Winnipeg, Shea Weber made a great play on the winning goal. He had great night. He played half the game, and it was really interesting to see how he and a couple of other guys, especially on the blue line with heavy minutes, would respond in a back to back, and they did fine. But even Claude Julien recognizes,
I'm not going to hide it. That there's no doubt. I'd like to bring his minutes down, and I think we got some guys back there. They're starting to really find their game again, and be the kind of defenseman that we know they can be.
Kind of early in the season to be seeing those minutes, right, as well as he's played?
He's got to be between 20 and 25. Once it goes over 25, and I know people say, what's a minute here or a minute there? You'll see. We're not even at game 20 yet. Once you get past 20, it changes. The league changes, and you'll see. Even those extra 1 or 2 minutes, anything over 25 for him is a lot. And if he's going close to 30 every night, that's going to be problematic once you get to game 40.
So last year, for example, he was at 25.04, mm-hmm. which is basically perfect. So far through 15 games, and I know we just had a back-to-back, but so far he's at 26.5 through 15 games average. In an era, Pierre, of 5 power plays per game on average with more penalties, like it's got to be more challenging than ever to manage minutes given all the special team situations.
If you don't have depth, it is, because he's playing on your first power play and he's on your first penalty kill, and he's also in the ultimate matchup situation, so it's not easy. It's very hard to manage minutes, for sure. That's a great way to look at it. I would say that if they could ever find another resource to play in a defensive role on the penalty kill, that would help, because those penalty killing minutes are hard minutes. Power play minutes are not that hard. The penalty killing minutes are the hard minutes.
They really leaned on their top four guys last night, because both Morrow and Victor Mete barely played 10 minutes.
Right. Well, again, That's a tough environment. I'm glad that Victor's learning. You can see, not nearly as dominant. The game's getting quicker. People are aware of who he is, so they're paying more attention to some of his strengths and weaknesses and trying to eliminate his strengths and punish him on his weaknesses. So you're seeing them close the gap a little bit more. It's subtle little things, but if you watch, if you really want to kind of watch the game in a weird way, just watch how people forecheck them, and you'll get an idea of what I'm alluding to. But it's, they lean on a lot of it. Petrie was probably, that may have been, I don't know if you agree, that may have been as well as he's played all year.
Yep, I think so. So you said a moment ago, before we get to all the wheeling and dealing that went on, that the Canadiens maybe got some puck luck in Winnipeg.
Yep.
Because they fell behind two goals, even though they were peppering them with shots, they were carrying the play, and then they had that two-goal issue again. I think Rod will mention it's the 10th time. What, two goals scored against him in less than 2 minutes?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And you're thinking, okay, that's it. The lights out. It's how bad is this going to get before the game's over? But they fought back. And they won in Winnipeg against a really good team. So where in there do you see the puck luck being a factor?
Just like little bobbles of the puck, having an opportunity to get clean shots on goal. Maybe the goalie for Winnipeg not being as good as he needed to be. Just little things, nothing bad. It's just I was happy. The Canadiens forged their way through that. And when you forge your way, usually you create other opportunities where you do see the payoff, and for Max in particular, who I thought was jumping around pretty good and was angry. You could see he was playing with an edge. It came his way, and he took advantage of it. I was happy for him.
Pierre, just on the blue line, I want to ask you, at what point do you feel Carl Alzner start to get comfortable here in Montreal? Because it seems like these last few games, his game is a lot more stable than when things weren't going well for the Canadiens.
See where he was playing last night when they were defending the lead? He's playing with Shea Weber. You know, that matters. He now knows, like, if you play him in that role, he knows, I'm in the shutdown role. I'm going to have to, you know, get comfortable doing this. Top penalty killer. I'm going to have to do this. They did not bring him there to score points. They know his pedigree is not points. His pedigree is quick puck movement, defending against the rush, clearing the crease, and shot blocking. He doesn't get beat very much to the net, I can tell you that.
So the Canadiens, after losing in Minnesota, you're looking ahead at that back-to-back, and you're going, man, this could be a second disastrous road trip early in the season. Instead, they turn it into something. They're moving in the right direction, and now the schedule for them lightens up. They play almost the entire month of November, the rest of the month, at home. They got a back-to-back, I think it's Dallas and Nashville later in the month. But you look at the immediate schedule, and it's a chance for them to keep going here. How important is it for them to, because they, to me, they've been in playoff mode. They've been in that sense of urgency mode, right, since they lost those games out west. And you wonder at some point, does it take a toll on some of the guys who've been playing that way, like Gallagher and Shaw in particular?
I think they're aware that coming off the western trip, obviously the coastal trip, it was not looking good. They were in trouble, and they needed to do something quick. And that's where I think Gallagher started to really get going. Shaw started to percolate a little bit more. Alzner, as Mitch Gallo correctly said, started to find his way. But I think what you just said is so critically important, the urgency factor. Once you get double digits down, you're in tough. But once you're double digits down going into the All-Star weekend, then you're in deep trouble. And the schedule, you're right, is now when we talk about traction all the time, you and I, now they have a little traction, and you've got home games, and your next game, if I remember correctly, is going to be against a tired team, you know, that's playing tonight in Vegas. So you got to take advantage of that and build off that for the rest of your week. But I would say that they've started to gain traction, and I think a big reason why is the urgency you talked about, Mitch.
Bill Belichick always preaches turning every game into its own season. So you kind of experience it and then you move on. But when you go through a positive experience, can you try to do the opposite and look at what you did well and kind of latch on to that without getting an overinflated ego?
Yeah, for sure. But that's where the coach has to message properly. And I think this coach has more than enough experience when it comes to messaging, Rod. So I would think that that's a valid point, too. The one thing is, as I tell my kids all the time, when they accomplish something, never let your guard down. You know, Scotty used to tell me all the time, you're only as good as your last shift. So you got to keep pushing, and you just can't let your guard down. And for the Canadians coming back, just because you're on home ice, you can't think that that's your security blanket that's going to get you through. Because a team coming in to play you tomorrow, those guys work. Ask Ottawa. Those guys work. And they'll work tonight in Toronto, and they'll work when they play Montreal. So don't let your guard down.
So you may have a coach putting money on the board tomorrow night. All right, let's get to the
yes, you might.
Let's get to the three-way trade. Hey, it finally happened.
It just so happened in the last couple of weeks, it turned out where we felt that we were doing the right thing for our organization. So it doesn't happen overnight. I mean, trades are, unless you're right at the trade deadline, they're tough to make.
For the Colorado Avalanche, that's Matt Duchene. Right now, news is breaking that he has been involved in a trade that has been completed, and it looks like they have pulled him off the ice here after just playing a couple of minutes to start this hockey game.
And now turning the page here with coming here to Ottawa, I'm beyond excited. 3 hours from home, back in my home province with a team that I've been keeping my eye on for a long time. I think just to see the way these guys play and the skill level.
For us, whenever I always like to, every day I come up the stairs of practice, you ask me if we're going to make a trade. And every day I tell you, Bruce, we're always looking to improve our hockey team. And I know with us adding Matt Duchene, we've improved our hockey team. We were a pretty good hockey team. We're on the right path. And adding an elite player of his caliber to our group, I think, just makes us even a better hockey team.
In reverse order there, Pierre Dorion responding to Bruce Garriott, and Matt Duchene wearing number 95 for the Senators, and Joe Sakic. So let me try to get this right. Duchene goes to Ottawa. Turris to Nashville with a new six-year, $36 million contract. Colorado gets Sam Girard from Nashville along with Kemenyev. Yep. And they get from Ottawa Shane Blowers, Andrew Hammond, a first pick in
2023 and a third
pick in 2019.
And a second from Nashville.
Okay, so you got it all. What did you think?
Well, let me just bring up the players that aren't the big name players.
Yeah, please.
Shane Blowers is really good. Shane Blowers is a Canadian kid that went to Waterloo, Iowa, played there for 2 years. I skated with him last year when I went to Waterloo. He's at Boston University now as a freshman. He's probably this year and next year and then ready. So it's 2 years away. He's a Nick Bonino-type player, outstanding hockey sense, really aware, and can finish plays off. So he's a really slick pickup. Now, the reason why Ottawa can move him, and I'll make it quick, is because they're kind of redundant with Logan Brown coming up the way he is, with Colin White coming up the way he is. They have a lot of those. They have Shane Bowers already in their system. They don't need more. So by getting Duchene, they've really strengthened their lineup. Let's go to Kyle Turris. They couldn't get a deal done. He wanted 8 years. I don't think Ottawa wanted to go more than six. He ends up taking six in Tennessee. But remember, Tennessee's a no-tax state. So he's probably doing 8 to 12% more on his revenue there. So he takes $6 million at $6, $36 million. He's in a good spot. Cost of living is reasonable. And he has really made their team better. So with Ryan Johansson, then Kyle Turris, then Nick Bonino, then Colton Sissons, 1, 2, 3, 4 down the middle, you're as good as almost every team in the league at center. In fact, you're swinging with the upper echelon guys in the league. Now, then let's go to the other guys that go out to Colorado. I think Joe did a really good job. Sammy Girard is going to be an elite puck-transporting defenseman in the league. What a junior career he had in Schwinnigan. He's a really, really good player, really good. So he and Tyson Barry, I could see really being a 1-2 punch in terms of transporting the puck and making it difficult to forecheck the Colorado Avalanche. The Russian young man played in the World Junior. He's done well in the American League. He's not a pure goal scorer. He comes from Magnitogorsk in Russia. They develop players there. Evgeny Malkin's one of the best they've ever developed there. So he comes from a place where they develop players. He'll be more, I think, part of their group. Bowers, I've already talked about. The draft picks are good, but I believe, and I don't know if you said this, Mitch, and if you did, I apologize. The first rounder from Ottawa is lottery protected. So if Ottawa ever fumbled the ball, Colorado wouldn't be getting it, a lottery pick. It'd be Ottawa's pick, then they take it the next year. It's lottery protected. That's the only thing that people need to know that maybe is not part of the dialogue. I don't know if you said that or not. If you
no,
did,
no, thank you for adding that. But so in the end, you know, with Joe Sakic getting hit from everywhere, the waiting is the hardest part, as Tom Petty sang. Yep. It turned out well for him.
It did for him, but he got, I don't want to say a reputation because that's not fair. One deal doesn't give you a reputation. But he got portrayed around the league as somebody hard to do a deal with. And I don't know if that's always good. That doesn't mean he did the wrong thing, because I think he did a great deal for his team. But I can tell you there were a couple teams, the Islanders being one of them, that really thought they had a deal for him. The Pittsburgh Penguins thought that earlier they might have had a deal for him. You know, I think there were a couple other ones that thought they had deals for him. So Joe squeezed and squeezed and eventually got, and his job is to do the best thing for Colorado. So he did the best thing he could for Colorado. I think it's a good deal. I think, as I said in Ottawa today, I thought everybody won in this deal. Everybody won, except the teams that didn't get anything.
All right, so how are the Senators better with Duchesne than Turris?
Well, I think Matty's 2 years, well, I know he's 2 years younger. Turris was the 07 draft, third overall. Duchesne was the 09 draft, third overall. So he's 2 years younger. That's different. I think Matty can produce more points, and I think Matty's probably a better pure finisher than Kyle. I think Kyle's a better defensive or a better two-way player.
He's a center. Yeah. Duchesne's not really a center.
Duchesne can play center, too, and might play wing. He's versatile. But here's the thing about Ottawa, and this, I have to keep stressing it. I think they've done some really good things with their scouting, and I know they sent Logan Brown back. But they turned Colin White pro, and he's playing in Belleville right now. I'm just telling you, once the coach in Ottawa decides that it's okay to play young players, that guy's going to be really, really good. And people are going to say, where did he come from? Who is this person? You'll see. They've got assets to go in there with Duchesne and Brassard and Stone and Hoffman. This is a quick, strike-capable offensive team. They're going to be very dangerous.
So, Pierre, I look at this deal and I see, you know, Nashville went to the Stanley Cup final last year. They don't lose anything from their roster. They add Kyle Turris down the middle.
And Bonino.
And they don't have to play Forsberg in the middle anymore because of that.
Right.
Which gives them a luxury of having him on the wing. Given the fact that they went to the Cup final last year, I mean, they feel like a team that is all in for the Cup.
I think they do. And you know what? I think Pierre Dorion Jr. made a big statement, too, by making this deal. He sees Tampa, I'm sure, and I think he sees Toronto, even though they've kind of struggled a little bit. But I think he sees that their team, especially going to the Eastern Conference Final last year, Mitch Galla, he probably sees his team saying, you know, if we had the right piece here, we got a chance too. Their team's good. Ottawa's good. And Carlson's just starting to warm up now. He just got his first goal the other day against Vegas. But you can see their team's going to start to find their way. This Mark Stone, by the way, fellas.
Brilliant.
He's something special. He is, I mean, he's not as mean as Cam Neely, but there's a whole lot of Cam Neely in that guy.
Yeah, he's just got that sour look on his face all the time.
I don't know if he can fight like Cam Neely.
No, he can't. He can't fight like Cam Neely. Come on. So let me bring it.
Finishes checks like Cam. Poor Randy Lattiser. I remember we go into Boston and play, and I'd be like, Laddie, you got to play against Cam. He goes, okay, I got it. And I'd be like, the next day watching the tape, I'm going, oh, boy, I can't believe I did this to this poor guy. What a gentleman.